Please get your Bibles and join me as I read from Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And let us read verses 1 to 26. Philippians chapter 1. Beginning with verse 21 down to verse 26. Let's hear God's word. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with you all, of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me. May the Lord bless the reading of His holy and precious word to our hearts. As I begin this message, let me get the attention of our children here. Now, children, if you were to choose two places where you would like to spend your spring break, what would be your choices? What would be your options? Okay, assuming that you've chosen already, and let's say you chose Mexico. That's your first option. And then your second option is Canada. So you want to go to Mexico and Canada. But what if all of a sudden your parents come to you and say, son, daughter, because of our financial problems, we regret to say that you can only pick one. Now, here's the problem. 50% of your friends are in Mexico, and 50%, the other half, are in Canada. So you really wanted to go to both places, but you can only choose one. What would you feel? Well, my friend, in our text, the Apostle Paul has a similar experience. Look at verse 21, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. And then take note, verse 23. I am torn or pressed between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Now, here we see the Apostle Paul being torn or hard-pressed by two desires. And the first desire is that he longs to depart from this body and to be present with the Lord, his Savior, his God, his Redeemer. But on the other hand, he has another desire, and that is to remain in this body, which for him is more necessary for the Philippian church. So you see, boys and girls, here the Apostle Paul has two desires. And so with God's help this evening, our theme is this: Paul's double desire. Paul's double desire. And we only have 2 points under that theme. First, we're going to consider his first desire, which is to go away and be with Christ. And then secondly, his second desire, which is to go on and be with the Church of Christ at Philippi. So our theme this evening, by God's grace, is Paul's double desire. 2 points, his desire to go away and be with Christ, and his desire to go on and be with the Philippian church. Let's consider our first point. Now look at verse 21 again. Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And I tell you, that verse is so rich. And that verse has become my life verse. And if you don't have one, if you don't have a life verse, you may want to choose that one. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." But we have to ask the Apostle Paul, "Paul, what do you mean by that statement? What do you mean by that statement?" Well, for us to understand what Paul means by that statement, we need to read what he has said previously in verse 20. So let's read verse 20. "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Now, notice again the last part of verse 20, because that is very crucial in understanding verse 21. Note what Paul says again. "Now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Now, here we see Paul's ultimate desire in his life, and that is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in his body, whether by life or whether by death. That is his primary goal in his life. In fact, in Greek, the word exalt can also be translated magnify. That's why in the King James Version, it reads like this. Verse 20, the last part. "Now, as always, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." You know, the idea of magnify, boys and girls, I don't know if you have seen a magnifying glass. That magnifying glass, what does it do? Well, a magnifying glass produces an enlarged image of the object that you see, right? And so what Paul is saying is this: I want to be, as it were, a magnifying glass. I want to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in my body, whether I live, whether I die. And that means in all things that he does, He does all those things in view of that ultimate desire to exalt, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, he wants to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in his body, so that whenever or whatever he sees, he wants to make sure that the object of his eyes will give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, whatever he says, he wants to make sure that his words, those words that come out of his mouth, will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, whatever he hears, he makes sure that those sounds give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever he does, I want Jesus to be magnified in my body. And that also means that even in health or in sickness. And how often that it's easy for us to give glory to the Lord Jesus Christ when we are healthy. But when we are ill, we complain. But Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, I want Jesus to be glorified in my body. So that when you know, I like this idea, if I'm going to illustrate this. So, it's like a magnifying glass. This is the life of the Apostle Paul. When you look at Paul, what you see in him is the glory and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his goal. That the people around him will see more of God's glory in his life. Not his glory. He doesn't want to magnify himself, but to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, is that your ultimate desire in this life? Are you a magnifier of Christ's glory? Do your friends, young people, do your classmates, parents, do your children, and children, do your parents, do our neighbors, do they see the Lord Jesus Christ in us? Who they see in us when they look at us? Do they see Jesus? And having said that, now we can understand why Paul can say in verse 21, since my ultimate, my supreme goal, desire in this life is to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ in my body by life or by death, because to me, look at verse 21, or for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. When Paul says, to me, to live is Christ, to live is Christ, you know what it means? It means that if you are going to ask Paul, what is life for you? Or how do you define life? Have you been asked that question? Well, what if I ask you tonight, what is life? What is your definition of life? Now, Paul's answer would be this. For me, life is Christ. Life is Christ. And so if you remove Christ from him, his life will stop existing. For to me, to live is Christ. Without him, I would be nothing. To whom shall I go? He has the eternal life. My life is Jesus because He is the bread of life. And in Him I have full satisfaction. My life is Christ because He is the living water. In Him I have full, complete satisfaction. And take note what He says. For to me. He is very personal. He could have said, for to us, Philippian church. But He specifically said, for to me. And you know what's the implication of that? It implies that to others, that's not the case. To others, life is all about the things of this world. To others, life is all about education. To others, life is all about work. They work, 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 and they don't have care about Jesus. To others, life is all about sexual pleasure. To others, life is all about money. But Paul says, but to me, life is Christ. Life is Christ. This is the version of, Fanny J. Crosby, one of my favorite hymn writers. She was only 6 weeks old when she became blind, and yet, by God's grace, she composed thousands of hymns. To God be the glory, blessed assurance. And she composed another hymn, and I like the title of that hymn, which I think summarizes the song itself. And the title of that hymn is, Take the World, but Give Me Jesus. What Fanny J. Crosby is trying to say in that hymn, you can take the world, you can take everything from me, but give me Jesus. Take my work, I don't care about my work. You can take my car, my house. Take my health, take my life, but give me Jesus. But give me Jesus. He is my sufficiency. My friend, can we honestly say that? Is Jesus your all in all? Are we completely satisfied with Jesus? And we just sang this evening before we started our sermon. In Christ alone. In Christ alone. Solus Christus. In Christ alone. He is my life. And that means, since for the Apostle Paul to live is Christ, whether he preaches the Word of God, he preaches to the glory of Christ. Whether he teaches, whether he cleans the house, or if we apply this to our personal lives, whenever you play the piano or play the organ, whenever you sing, whenever you give for the glory of Christ. Now, why is it all about Christ? Well, because once you glorify Christ, you glorify the Father, and you glorify His Spirit. Because this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, says the God the Father. For to me to live is Christ. And then Paul continues. Look at verse 21, please. For to me to live is Christ, and what? To die is gain. To die is gain. Well, we might scratch our heads and say to Paul, Paul, are you serious? Dying is gain? To die is gain? And Paul would say, yes. Yes. If for you to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now, the word gain in Greek can also mean advantage or profit or benefit. So you can translate that, for to me to live is Christ and to die is beneficial or profitable or advantageous. Death brings advantages. Well, of course, the first advantage, the first gain is Christ Himself. Why? Do you remember what Paul says? To be absent from this body is what? To be present with whom? With the Lord. That's the gain. So when you die in Christ, you are going to be present with Him forever and ever and ever. That is your great advantage. And not only that, the reason why Paul can say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, because if you are a believer in Christ, when you die, you will receive advantages. And the first advantage or the first gain or first profit is this. When you die, you will not sin again. You cannot sin again. You will not sin anymore. So what, Pastor Brian? Well, my friend, so what? Okay, let me explain. Do we understand that whenever we sin, we grieve the Holy Spirit? That whenever we sin, in a sense, we crucify the Lord Jesus Christ again? Whenever we sin, we displease the Father. But someday, in heaven, we cannot sin again. What a blessing! We cannot grieve the Holy Spirit again. And if you are a believer, you can relate to me. Whenever you sin, sometimes you feel so unworthy. You don't even want to come to God, to pray to Him, to read His Word. Because you have displeased Him. Lord, like what Peter said, depart from me. Isaiah, woe unto me. But the time will come, we don't have to say those words. And we don't have to feel that kind of feeling. Because we cannot sin again, or anymore. What a blessing. Now, what else? Well, when we die, another blessing, another advantage, another profit is that we will not be tempted anymore. There will be no temptations. Now, in this world is full of temptations. Even inside the house of God, don't think that you are safe here. No. Even in the house of God, we can experience, we can face temptations. Perhaps as I am preaching, your mind is wandering. Satan, for sure. Because Satan does not want you to hear this word, he is going to disturb you. He is going to make you doubt. He's going to ruin your mind, your thought, he's going to tempt you. This place is not temptation-free. But praise the Lord, someday, when we get to heaven, there will be no more temptations there. And don't say to me that because you are old, then you are not prone to temptations anymore. I have a friend who is in his mid-80s. And I remember one time, He took me out. We went to a fast food, and we were having a nice conversation about God. And as I was talking to him, all of a sudden I noticed that his mind was flying away. And he said to me, "Brian, do you see that beautiful girl?" dressed seductively. At the back of my mind said, 85 years old. And that tells me that everyone, regardless of your age, is prone. Man, if we are honest, be honest. If we are honest, we are all prone to temptations. But praise be to God, in heaven, there will be no temptations anymore. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's my advantage. That's my profit. And what else? Well, another blessing, another profit, is that when we die, and it may sound awkward to you, if you die in Christ, you will not die again. You will not die again because you will live forever and ever and ever and ever with Jesus. And what is our last enemy but death? We fear death, right? Who wants to talk about death? But if you die in Christ, you will not die again. And I was thinking of this. You know what? In heaven, there will be words that we used here that will be obsolete there. For example, the word death. Do you think the word death will exist in heaven as we use it today? How about the word temptation? How about the word sin? How about the word doubt? The words that we are scared of will be obsolete there. Words that we're going to use in heaven are glorious, precious. Oh, what a blessing. What else? Well, another blessing, another advantage or profit or gain of dying in Christ is that you will not suffer anymore. No more pain. The book of Revelation says there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more illness. Oh, praise the Lord. You know what? I'm glad that someday I'm going to die. I don't want to stay in this body. I don't want to stay in this world. And praise the Lord, there is death. You see, I like what Thomas Watson said. He was a Puritan. He said, "What a wicked man fears, a godly man hopes for." What a wicked man fears, a godly man hopes for. Here's the Apostle Paul hoping to die, desiring to depart from this body and be present with the Lord. The unbelievers, they fear death because they don't have Christ. But if you have Christ, you can say with Paul, by God's grace, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is not a loss." Dying for believers is not a loss. It is a gain. It is a profit. No more suffering. And then another blessing, another profit of dying in Christ is that there will be no more separation, no more parting anymore. I think one reason, and I want to be honest, I still want to live. I still want to be with my wife, with my family. I love them. What pains me when I think of death is the idea of separation. Right, parents? The fact that you're going to be separated from your loved ones, from your spouse, from your children. That's why we don't want to talk about death. But someday in heaven, there will be no parting, no separation anymore. In fact, there will be a grand reunion of all the saints from the four corners of the world. All the saints in Africa, in Australia, in Asia, in Europe, yes, in the US, from all corners of the world, four corners, there will be a great union. There is a hymn, again by Fanny J. Crosby. It's called Home at Last. Let me read one of the stanzas. She says, "Oh, the long and sweet reunion, where the bells of time shall cease. Oh, the greeting, endless greeting, on the vernal heights of peace, where the hoping and desponding of the weary heart are past, and we enter life eternal, home at last, and we enter life eternal, home at last, home at last." Oh, what a sweet reunion. Yes, my friend, all your loved ones who died in Christ, you will see them again. You will see them again. And yes, you will recognize them. But of course, all these benefits that I've just given to you are nothing compared to the great gain, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because heaven is nothing without Christ. Heaven is Christ. Heaven is Jesus. Now, when we think of all these advantages, by the way, I can give you more advantages. But when you think of these advantages, no more sin, no more temptation, no more suffering, no more death, no more separation, will you not be homesick for heaven? Will you not be homesick? And I believe at this time, as the Apostle Paul was pondering upon all these blessings in heaven, he became homesick for heaven. That's why he could say, "I desire to depart from this body and to be present with the Lord." Now, by the way, the word "depart" in Greek can mean two things. You can translate that word in two different ways, which are basically the same. Now, the first one is that the word "depart" literally means break up. Break up. Now, here's the idea. To depart from this body is actually to die. And what is dying but the separation of our soul from our body? It is, if you're going to ask me, what is physical death? Well, the basic definition of physical death is the breaking up of our soul with our body. That's why, boys and girls, if I die by God's grace, my soul, yes, my spirit will immediately meet the Lord Jesus Christ while my body will be buried. And I don't care. I don't know what they're going to do to my body. So my soul will break up with my body. But there's another meaning in Greek for the word "depart," which I like. And that is return. Return. R-E-T-U-R-N. Return. And here's the idea. Paul is using that language in connection to a soldier. Okay, children, listen to this, please. A soldier who has been deployed overseas. And that soldier is busy fighting, engaging in war and everything. And then all of the sudden, he remembers his wife. And then he said to himself, I want to go home. I want to go home. I'm homesick. I want to see my wife. I want to return home. That's the idea. So what Paul is saying, I desire to return home, which implies that for the Apostle Paul, this world is not his home. And there is a song that says, this world is not my home. And what? I'm just passing through. And that means too, that Paul belongs to heaven. That's why when a believer in Christ died, yes, we use many expressions like, okay, he died, or he passed away, or he passed into glory. But I think I like this one. He returned home. If you are a believer in Christ, when you die someday, you will return home. But here, Paul does not desire to return home because he wants to, let's say, escape from his suffering or his affliction. Because, again, we have to understand the context. At this time, when Paul was writing this epistle, he was where? He was in Rome. And what was his condition there? He was imprisoned. And he was about to be executed by the Roman government for preaching the gospel. He knew that any time he could be executed. He knew that any time he could die. But he doesn't want to return home because of fear of death. No. He doesn't want to return home because he's afraid of being executed, or he's tired about this life, or because of his affliction or his suffering in his body. No. He wants to return home because he wants to be with his Lord. Now, why am I saying that? Well, because there are people in this world who also want to die. People who commit suicide. But they commit suicide not because of Christ. In fact, I was reading this article. It's about the title of this article is Youth's Suicidal Tendencies, Causes and Solution. Now listen to what the author says. The author says, the suicidal tendencies are on the rise among youth, or among the youth. High expectations of the parents, inability to perform well in the competitive exams are among the various reasons behind this extreme step. So you see, my friend, people want to die because they are tired about this life. I don't want to live anymore. And then they commit suicide. The motivation behind dying is not Christ. But for the Apostle Paul, he wants to die. He wants to be with Jesus because of Christ. It's like going back to this analogy, this soldier. Now, could you imagine if this soldier, okay, he returned home to his wife. And then his wife was surprised. Honey, what brought you home? Well, honey, I was afraid. I was afraid of the bullets. And I was afraid of dying. I returned home, not really because of you, but because I was afraid. Now, if you were the wife, what would you feel? Be honest. Now, what if we change the scenario like this? So the soldier returned home. The wife was surprised. Honey, what brought you home? Honey, I just wanted to be with you. I was so homesick. I couldn't wait to be with you because I love you, I love you, I love you. I came home because of you. Paul wants to go home because of his Savior, because he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Not because he is tired about this life. Not because he wants to escape from the sufferings or the stress or the problems. Because mind you, so long that you live, you will suffer and you will suffer. We can't escape suffering. It's part of life. If you don't have suffering, you are an abnormal person. But the Lord is there to uphold you, to help us. My grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. So Paul is so excited to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, look at our text again. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then verse 23, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. And how does he describe it? Which is better by far. It is better by far. Yes, my friend, to be with our family is better. To be with your wife, to be with your husband, to be with your children, to be with your grandchildren, to be with your churchmates, with your friends is better. But to be with Christ is far, 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 far better. Far, far better. Oh, my friend, do we have that kind of longing? You see, one of our problems today is that we are not applying what Paul says. Set your affection on things what? Where? On things above, not on things below. We have been or have become too attached to this world that we do not want to leave this world. We have been too attached to this body that we love this body so much. We don't want to die anymore and receive our glorified bodies in heaven. We have become too attached to our family that we love them more than we do the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, love your wife with the love of the Lord. That's the best love that you can give to your spouse. Love your children with the love that comes from the Lord. That's the best love that you can give to your children. Don't love them more than the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, for sure, at this time, he had friends, he had relatives, but he loved the Lord more than his friends, more than his families. Why? Because to be with Jesus is far, much more better. Much more better. And yet, he continues, and this will usher us to our second point. Look at verse 24. But, or in King James, nevertheless, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. So now here we see the Apostle Paul being torn. But going back to my introduction, he desires to depart from this body. He desires to return home and be with Christ. And that is far, far better. Much more better. But on the other hand, he says, nevertheless, it is more necessary or more needful for you, Philippian believers, Philippian church, that I remain in my body, in my body. To remain in the body is the opposite of to depart from this body. Now, why does the Apostle Paul want to remain in this body? What motivates him to remain in this body? Two reasons. First, the first reason is found in verse 22. Look at verse 22, please. So Paul says, if I am to go on living in the body, that is to say, if I'm going to remain in this body, this will mean what? Fruitful labor for me. In other words, he wants to stay in this body so that he can still labor and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the context, he was imprisoned and he was about to be executed by the Roman government. And for sure, he was praying to the Lord, "Lord, please, I still want to live. I still want to remain in this body. And if I remain in this body, Lord, that is because I desire to serve you more. I desire to preach, proclaim the gospel more." And then his second desire, or his second reason why he wants to stay in this body, is found in verse 24. So the first reason, so that he can still labor and proclaim the gospel of Christ. The second reason why he wants to remain in his body is that because, okay, look at verse 24. "But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for what? For your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me." Now the context, at that time the Philippian church had no pastor. And again, we know the story that Paul was one of the...